Welcome to Sword Radio. This is your host, Buffy St. John. Today we're going to talk about war. Why war? Why is there war out there in the world? People have been fighting each other since the first two children of Adam and Eve started disagreeing with each other. Cain killed Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and that was the beginning of man's assault against man. This single act of violence has progressed to include the deaths of hundreds of thousands in countless wars, riots, domestic hostility, aggravated assaults and robberies, etc. No amount of protesting, no peacekeepers, no peacekeeping missions, or peace-promising politicians, no church, can stop or silence war. So why do we war? Let's go to James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. War is a result of human beings acting on their lusts. People need to be regenerated through faith in Jesus Christ. Without regeneration, they yield to the wicked desires of their hearts. Giving in to those desires leads to war. When human beings reject Jesus Christ, the only alternative is war. Isaiah chapter 57 verses 20 through 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Human beings are caught up in a great struggle between good and evil, light and darkness, the ways of Christ or the Antichrist, truth against lies, honesty against deceit, faithfulness against unfaithfulness, righteousness against sin, God versus Satan. Opposing principles are constantly warring within, forcing us to choose sides every minute of every day. Making the wrong choice leads to war. War between and within families, races, religions, and nations. Some, to make their point, others to satisfy their lusts, will do any vile thing a depraved mind can think of. This willingness to submit to their unregenerated desires ravaged the world with war. In 1990, we have the example of Saddam Hussein, who touched off the Persian Gulf War as he invaded Kuwait. Why? He lusted after money and power. This same kind of lust wreaks havoc around the world as it uses violence as a means to appease itself, never to be satisfied. Therefore, war. Bible prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 declares that Russian lust for Israel's wealth in gold, silver, livestock, everything will ignite the battle of Gog and Magog. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 24, the Antichrist will lust after world government. He'll take down three nations to get at it as he ushers in the last Gentile world kingdom. In Revelations chapter 13 verses 11 through 18 and chapter 14 verses 9 through 11, the false prophet will lust after a world religion, impose the mark of the beast in order to achieve control and cause many to be cast in the lake of fire. Revelations chapter 9 verses 14 through 16 and chapter 16 verses 12 through 14. China will lust for control of the Middle East and will declare war against the Antichrist and roll into the dried up Euphrates River and touch off the War of Armageddon. Acting upon our lusts leads to war. So what is the Christian's view of war? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 9, where Jesus stated, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So how does a Christian reconcile the high calling of God to be peacemakers, to love your enemies, to pray for those who spitefully use you, and to turn the other cheek, and the fact that there is a time for war? Christians should know that peacemaking is not always possible. The Old Testament offers many examples of this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men." Though we may not be in favor of war, it can be forced upon us and may be necessary. Here are some of the conditions for war as a last resort. When all nonviolent options have been exhausted, then there's war. As a just cause, war is fought in self-defense or to right a wrong or maybe to redress an injury or similar such causes. How about likelihood of success? War is fought if there is a real chance of success, not cause to justify destruction in a hopeless war? What about as an end result? If the end result would be better than the conditions that would exist if there were no war? What about the ultimate goal? To establish justice, to reestablish peace, to improve the lives of people. What about excessive or unnecessary force? Only the force that is needed to attain the ultimate goal should be used. Once attained, war should stop. Civilians. What about the civilians? Innocent civilians should not be the target, unless their deaths are unavoidable as a result of an attack on a military target. You know, some Christians are pacifists and believe all war is contrary to God's will. Appeasement and acquiescence is unscriptural. The Bible does not teach that meekness means weakness. Moses killed a man before he fled Egypt, and when he returned, he faced the most powerful man on earth, the Pharaoh. He met God up in Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. But when he came down the mountain, what did he find? Israelites worshiping a golden calf. He had them killed. He was opposed, but he stood his ground. He was courageous, yet the Bible calls him meek. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." That's an incredible, incredible statement. So let's look at Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, humble and meek. But when he entered the temple and saw that the Jews had turned the temple into a place of merchandise and profit, he did what? Well, take a look at John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords," that means a whip, okay? He made a whip. "He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers and overthrew the tables. He said unto them that sold doves, 'Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise.' And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.' Then answered the Jews and said unto him, 'What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things?'" It's amazing when you really read the Bible, every answer, everything that you need for every question, every situation in your life, it's there. Christians should be meek before God, humble in his presence, and submissive to his will. But we should also fight against wrong. Please pray for our men and women that are fighting in wars around the world. There is another side to war that few people take into consideration. This is written about in the Bible and should be understood. There are spiritual forces and powers that wage war. Some of these powers are used to deceive God's people, world leaders, and as Christians, we need to pray for discernment. Most world leaders are more interested in occultic powers than the Word of God. They will listen to divinators than a biblical emissary. They totally ignore the warning signs of the soon coming 7-year period of judgment, the tribulation. They don't want to know what the Bible has to say about homosexuality, fornication, adultery, pornography, idol worship, worshiping other gods, or that the Bible clearly states that the people would hate Israel, persecute Christians, and kill followers of Jesus Christ. Just as John the Baptist was beheaded because he spoke out against the adultery of King Herod, so too will Christians around the world be persecuted for speaking out against sin. Whenever a person, a community, a nation denies Jesus Christ and seeks after their own lusts, their own desires, and power, the only alternative is war. The day is coming when God will pour out his wrath upon the earth, upon disobedience. Take a look at Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. "Therefore wait ye upon me, says the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." As parents, we discipline our children. So must we face the consequences of our sin and rejection of God and his son Jesus Christ. and receive His discipline. After the correction, there is always a period of peace, love, reconciliation, and grace. So too will the world find rest and peace. If you look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, "And He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." I'm telling you, people, that will be the time of great joy and peace. We don't like to close our program without giving you an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Friend, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Are you ready? If you do not know Jesus, now is the time. Pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. You died on a cross to take my punishment for sin. You rose to give me eternal life. Come into my heart and be my God, my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me and make me whole. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed that prayer with me, write me via email at buffy@declaretheword.com or write me at P.O. Box 1695, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And allow me to send you a new believer's packet absolutely free. Be sure to go to www.saythattv.com to listen to more teachings and helps. God bless you. Until next time.